We serve a great, big, wonderful God, don't we? He's a mighty God. Hallelujah. Praise His name. It is good to worship the Lord. It is good to give Him praise. And you know, when He receives our praise, His presence just comes amongst us. You know, God cannot resist being with His people when they begin to praise Him. He's just like, did somebody call my name? Yeah. And He's there. So wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're going to ask Martin if he's going to just share a word of testimony with us. Just going to introduce himself a little bit and just share a little bit about himself. He's not going to do it all because we'll be here forever. 5-10 minutes, yeah. That'd be fine. So, praise God. Well, you're getting warmed up now, are you? Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Give Him a welcome.
Thanks very much. I was going to say that. I'll need to speak slowly so you can understand me. I'm from Glasgow, just outside Glasgow, and I'm 30 years old. And I was brought up in a loving family. My mum and dad they were good to us. I've got an older brother, sister, and I was encouraged in life, and I was taught right from wrong. But at a very young age, 5, 6. There was always something missing in my life. I always felt empty. There was fear in my life. I was very scared. And that just followed me through my life. By the age of 11, 12, I was smoking. I started smoking. Before that, I was signed by a professional football team in Scotland. That was my dream in life, was to be a football player. I just wanted to be a football player. Nothing else mattered. But I started smoking. Started smoking cannabis, started taking every other kind of drug by the age of 12. So my football, my schooling, going to school, stopped going to school, just didn't go. As I said, there was fear in my life, and by taking drugs, the fear got worse in my life. It was really, really bad, and I took drugs to fill that void that was missing in my life. And for a short period of time, it would fill that void in my life, but my addiction got worse. I was starting to be very, very chaotic. As I said, my family brought us up with good morals and values, and I started stealing off them. I started doing things that I knew was wrong. I knew it was wrong, but I'd done it anyway to feed my addiction. And as I said, school, I stopped going. I was involved in gangs as well. In the west coast of Scotland, it's quite bad with gangs. A lot of religion, a lot of Celtic Rangers, just in the west coast, and that was kind of built into me from a young age, the crowd I hang around with, and kind of a typical weekend was going out and fighting with my friends, taking as much drugs as I could. I used to wake up in prison cells and wouldn't even know why I was in prison, why I had been arrested. That's how chaotic my lifestyle had became. And as I said, I've got an older brother. He's 4 years older than us, and he was using heroin at this point. I was only 14, 15, and I seen my brother really, really bad on heroin. I seen him, my mum and that tried to do everything for him, and I seen him coming off heroin. I seen the pain he went through, I seen the pain he was causing my family. I seen everything he was doing to hurting people, and I hated him for that. I hated what he was doing, and I hated people who was taking heroin. Me and the crowd, we didn't like people who used heroin. And very soon, very quickly, it was me who was using heroin. By 16, I was on heroin. I was injecting heroin. By 17, I went to the doctors to try and get some help. They put us on methadone, which is a substitute for heroin. 7 years of my life was on methadone. I was tied to a chemist every day. They were sending me to psychologists, psychiatrists, everything, you name it. I'd went to see them, and they gave me more tablets, antidepressants. They told me I was depressed. So my life, I was depressed. I was more than depressed. as I said, I had dreams growing up as a young guy, and by 16, man, I didn't have any. My dream was to die. You know, like, I used to wake up in the morning to I would fantasize in how I could kill myself, and I had about 6-7 suicide attempts in my life. I was on ventilators, cut my wrists. I tried so many different ways because of the pain that was in my life, you know. And I had seen people who I was in school with have a life, and I just wanted life, you know. I wanted to do that lifestyle. I just didn't want it anymore, and the addiction just got worse. I ended up with no friends. Nobody wanted to know me because I was just a thief. I wasn't a very nice person. My mum and dad, they tried to do their best for us, but it got to a point they couldn't let me in the house, because if I went into the house, I would have stole anything from them. And I didn't want to do it, but it's just because drugs, sin, had that much grip on me. I would get clean, wouldn't last very long, and the drugs stopped working, basically. And I took to self-harming as well. I used to cut myself with razor blades. Things were bad. I remember one night at my mum's house, a guy came to the door and slashed me with a knife right in my face. I got 56 stitches in my face, and my mum, she was standing right behind us. That was the consequences for the addiction. That was the things I was doing. People wanted to kill me because of what I was doing. My life just continued like that. I was in and out of relationships. Nothing worked. I was always searching for something to fill that void. At this point, I didn't know it was God I was looking for, but I tried everything. Sex, gambling, alcohol, anything, and it never worked. Nothing brought any joy or happiness to my life. Basically, 4 years ago, I was homeless. I had absolutely nothing. I used to kick doors in, and the houses that were empty, and I used to get in and sleep in these houses. I had a bin bag with clothes in it. That was my lot in life. As I said, 4 years ago, and one of my friends told me to get clean, and it was ringing in my ears one night, and it was a Christian lady in Glasgow. So I phoned this lady, and she took me in. She opened her door to us in Glasgow. She fed me, she loved me, and she got me off of drugs. I'm so thankful for that lady today, and she showed me the love of God, basically. But I knew inside that I wasn't fixed, so I had to get in somewhere. So I went to Teen Challenge in the Scottish Borders, and when I went in, I had a massive encounter with God, a real, real massive encounter with God. I was set free instantly. In one of the chapel services, I was set free. Somebody laid hands on me. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was speaking in tongues. I was set free. I didn't know what it was at the time. I was just like, what's going on? But see what I'm saying? Like, I was searching for something. No, I'd found what I'd always been looking for. God came into my life. I didn't even ask him. He came in. He came into my life. And I was there for 6 months. And I was in a relationship at this point. My girlfriend, she committed suicide. She woke up and had enough of life. She hung herself. So I was there for 6 months, and I was like, I left, which wasn't the best thing to do. Went back to my hometown. I used for a couple of weeks, and then really I got on my knees before God, and I cried out to God. I can't remember what I prayed, but I just cried out. It was like a cry from the pit of my stomach and my heart, and God just opened the way for me to get into the Haven, which is like Teen Challenge in Scotland. I went in there. I was there for 14 months, and I loved my time in there. I had an amazing time, they showed me the love of God. They taught us things. I'd come off drugs. I had no discipline in my life. They showed me discipline as well, because I needed that in my life. And I was just had an amazing time. I still go back there and visit. It's my extended family there as well. My family has been restored to us, relationships, everything. God has really just blessed my life. And when I came to faith, when I got saved, I always felt the burden for ministry. I always felt God wanted me to be in the ministry, and I always felt that. And I never pursued it. I moved down to Loughborough, down to the Carpenter's Arms, where Andrew's a trustee. And I was working alongside the staff in that there as well. And I stayed there for a year. I had a quiet time one morning, and God spoke to us. He said, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And I knew then that God had plans for my life. I was on my own agenda, and I get back onto God's plan for my life. And I surrendered my life to God again there, and I said, God, your will be done in my life. And so I got in touch with Bible colleges, two Bible colleges. Went for an interview to Mattersey, and I was up with my pastor, and we prayed before we went, and I said, Lord, give me something that I know this is where I'm meant to be. And I walked into the college, and there was a verse on the wall, and it says, but the righteous are as bold as lions. And it's one of my favourite verses, and I was like, God just spoke right into my life, and I knew before I'd been in the interview that I was meant to be there. And I've been there for the last, how long have we been there? It's been that long. 4 or 5 months. So I'm at Bible college now, studying a degree in theology with Daniel. When I was there, when I started the college, before I came up, I'll share this, I met Andrew down in Loughborough, and we sat and we spoke, and I felt God want me to come to this church. And I moved to the college, and I didn't. I made the wrong choice, and I went to another church, and God spoke to us. And I got in touch with Andrew again. And I believe God's calling me to this church for a reason. You know, Andrew was speaking about, you know, like the houses around here, you want to see people coming in, and you want people come to faith, you want people set free. That's my heart as well. You know, I believe God's got big plans for this place, and it's, I'm so excited to be here and be part of it. You know, I was speaking to Grace and Andrew, and we were speaking for hours last night. It's just exciting times, you know. God is going to move in this place. I really feel it in my spirit, man. I really do. And I'm believing for good things from God. And you know, my life's amazing, man. I'm so thankful isn't even a word I can use to God, man. It just seems so inept, a word for God. And I'm so thankful for my life. And there's another verse I'll finish with. It says, God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. I was certainly one of them people, but when God gets his hand on your life, it can just change it round, and God gets all the glory for my life. He really does, man. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to getting to know everybody as well. Bless you.
Hallelujah. Praise God. He's been staying with us this weekend. Now he tells me, you know, he used to go stealing and everything. Hallelujah. God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Amen. You know, God's a God of chances, second chances, third chances, fourth chances. No. This is the God that we serve. He's a God that loves his creation so much. And he wants you to come unto him. He wants every one of us to be in relationship with him. Hallelujah. Amen. That's fantastic. Great testimony. I'm sure he's much more to tell us and share with us as time goes on. Praise God. So, and we're just believing God for great things to happen in this area, aren't we? You know? More Nepalese people to come to faith, more English people, more wherever they're from, they need to know Jesus. Yeah? And the only way they're going to get to know is when you, when we tell them. Isn't that right? And I want to see, because I believe this is what the Word of God says. When Jesus left his disciples, he said, he gave them a great commission. And that is, go. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Share Jesus. Share the love of God with people. Heal the sick. Amen. That's what every one of us, everyone, it's not for me, it's for everyone. It's not for just leadership, it's for the congregation. Every one of us, heal the sick. And the next one's a good one, raise the dead. Amen? Raise the dead. Raise the dead. Raise the dead. I prayed for three people who were dead. And two have come back to life. And one of them's in this church today, still alive. That's the Jesus that we serve, that we worship. That's the creator of all things, the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And he wants you and I to be doing those things in his name. And then giving him all the praise and all the glory, because he's the healer. He's the God who brings salvation. He's the one who sets captives free. He's the one who raises the dead. He's the one who opens blind eyes. He's the one who unstops deaf ears. He's the one who causes the lame to leap and to walk. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we give him all praise and him all glory. We're just wires that do the connection. Hallelujah. We just come along and say, I just got something to give you. And then we just release the power of God. God flows through his people. Amen? Do you believe it? Hallelujah. We're going to see things happen this year. This is a year of the power of God, of blessing and increase. Amen? Praise God. Do you say you've got something to share?
I was reading this morning and I was so blessed. And this is what God is just continuing to say to us, that he gave Solomon a challenge, didn't he? I mean, the challenge, you've all been through Christmas and we've all said, what on earth can I buy that person? That person's got everything. What can I possibly buy them? And it's really one of those things that we struggle with. But Solomon had an even greater challenge, because God said to him, build a house for my glory. And Solomon thought, what can I possibly build that will contain the God of the universe? If the heavens can't contain him, how can I build a house that can contain him? And so Solomon set about the challenge and he sought God. And he built a house that was full. It reflected the glory of God. It was a reflection of his glory. It was full of gold. It was just gold everywhere. And even as we've studied it over the past 18 months, the high priest's garments were the most fabulous material and full of gold and very ornate. So much so that when they were taken into captivity, kings would set aside, Babylonian kings would set aside their own garments and they'd wear the high priest's garments, because they were just so magnificent, so exquisite. There was nothing like them on earth. And that was the glory that Solomon was able to build and reflect for God. And we have a challenge today. God doesn't inhabit houses. He inhabits us. And the challenge to us is, I want you to reflect my glory. I want you to shine, shine, shine with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want my presence to just ooze from you. I want you to be out in the streets and they'll see my glory on you and they'll be drawn to you. That's the challenge to his people today. He doesn't want a house building. He doesn't want a temple building. He wants you, and he wants his presence powerfully working through you. Amen.
Amen. God is looking for hands, he's looking for mouths, he's looking for the vessel to share the life of Christ through this world today. Wherever you live, God wants to use you to bring somebody to Jesus. Amen. Praise God. We're going to sing another song. We're going to sing, I've Been Redeemed. Good testimony to follow, I've been redeemed with, glory to God, by the blood of the Lamb, I've been redeemed, you know. Constantly God's at work redeeming us. And whilst we sing this song, we're going to take up our tithes and offering to the Lord and bless him in our giving. Amen.